Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. It's Tuesday night, 7:30, and it's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. Again, my name is Kenneth Hodge. I'm the branch president of Columbus, Ohio, National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Local 304. And I've got my right-hand guy with me, Robert Frost, who also works at Citygate in Columbus, Ohio. We get together on Tuesday night to try to keep you abreast or updated on injury compensation facts that can and will assist you should you ever become injured at work. Tonight, we're going to talk about, first of all, I'm sorry. Hey, good evening, Robert. How you doing?
Good evening, Kenny. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Tonight, you know, with some diligent research, we came up with a memorandum for employees in the Ohio Valley District, and it addresses light duty, and then there's an SOP on light duty. Now, first of all, I do know that this is an injury compensation podcast, and most of the time, if we're talking light duty, we're not talking about an injury that took place at work, but it's important that we cover this because a lot of people that I know currently fall into the category of this information being helpful to them. So we have a memorandum signed by Debbie O'Neill out of the Ohio Valley District with an SOP on light duty. And I want to start off by just reading or start off by saying, let's all remain mindful of the difference between light duty and limited duty. Light duty simply states it was a non-job related injury, while limited duty states you got hurt at work. So again, this memo pertains to light duty. And light duty is requested, the memo reads as follows. Light duty is requested for an employee with a non-job related injury or an employee who has submitted a CA2 that has not been adjudicated. The standing operating procedures for light duty is provided. Now, when I say non-job related or CA2, on this podcast and on many podcasts, Rob and I try to educate you on that CA2. And again, I don't know why that form, every time I explain it to people, the eyebrow go up as if it's some kind of a scam. But I assure you, if you would take the time and read that form, it will tell you it's for pre-existing conditions that has been exacerbated by your current work condition. And I'm going to say that again. Yeah, I was already hurt, but now that I'm a mail handler and every day I'm doing these repetitive motions, it has re-aggravated the injury I already had. So the post office has a form, the government has a form called a CA2. So now if you should submit a CA2, tell them the post office, your existing work is exacerbating a pre-existing injury, then you have a right to request light duty until your CA2 has been adjudicated. Now, one thing I want to say to you on that is, even though you request light duty, let's keep in mind that the post office is not obligated to find work for you if you have a non-job related injury. And again, that's one of the major differences between your light duty and limited duty, because if you're injured at work, they own that injury and they have to bend over backwards to accommodate you, because if they don't, then they pay you 100% for absolutely nothing. So we have this memo on light duty standards, standard operating procedure. And you have to understand that if you feel you have been injured at work, if you feel that you've been injured off work, but you are still able to come to work, then you should request one of these packets. And I'm pretty sure your supervisors, I'm pretty sure they're not aware of this, because this memo is dated May 11th. And it takes, you know, it takes a lot of time for memos that come down from levels higher than Citygate to get distributed or to be made public to the employees. But again, Kenny and Rob doing the research for you. We're bringing it to you probably before you hear it from Postal Management. So, and there's a form, there's a packet that you have. And again, it requires you to submit your light duty request. And they have a packet designed for this. And I have the packet should you need it. Or Rob will have the packet. We can send it to you on digits if you need it. You request your light duty. You submit it to your supervisor. They're going to naturally take everything to their MDO, who will take it to the lead MDO, who will probably take it to the plant manager, but nonetheless, there's going to be a decision made on it. Now, when we
excuse
talk
me,
about...
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Robert.
Sorry. It has to go to the plant manager. You can submit it to your supervisor or the MDO, but they have to give it to the plant manager for a decision. And then if he approves, whether he approves it or not, he has to send his reasoning on to the district.
Okay. Well,
that's
again,
part of that other approval form.
Okay. And again, that makes sense only because supervisors and MDOs in Columbus can't make decisions without checking with the boss anyway. So that's right in line with their SOP anyway. So, but at the very least, if it's authorized at the top, then no one should be able to change or alter it. So, I mean, again, that makes sense. And even though it's got to go through all those levels of, well, I almost said unnecessary, but if you have to go through all those levels, I mean, that can be all, that's all done in an email. So it doesn't mean it's got to drag it out. But one thing I do want to say is in the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, if you look at Article 13, Article 13 addresses assignment of ill or injured regular workforce employees. Any full-time, regular, part-time, flexible, again, that's that old language in our contract talking about part-time flexibles. Any full-time, regular, or part-time flexible employee recuperating from a serious injury or illness or temporarily unable to perform their assigned duties may voluntarily submit a written request to the installation head for temporary assignment to a light duty or other assignments. The request shall be supported by a medical statement and a licensed physician or by a written statement from a licensed chiropractor staffing, I mean stating when possible, the anticipated duration of the convalescence period. Such employee agreed to submit to a further examination by a physician designated by the installation head if that official so requests. So what we're saying is if you cannot perform 100% of your duty and you realize that, then you can request light duty. And again, it's not being made public to it's not public knowledge. But again, you have to understand that the post office, and I'm going to segue here just for a minute, the post office, once you slow down a little bit and read some of the rules and regulations that govern our work life, I guarantee you, folks, we're going to stop and say that we have a pretty good job. The post office is designed, again, for you to be there as a career. The post office wasn't designed as an intermediate step for you to go come here for a few years and then go somewhere else. So we have FICA laws. We have laws that govern what we do. And if we understand and put those laws into practice, your quality of work life is going to go through the roof. We just won't slow down or be consistent enough to force the agency to live up to whatever it is that's already agreed upon. And even with this light duty form, you know, for most of my years in the post office, now, if you're talking about a light duty, they won't give you CA forms. but they have a physician or practitioner certification. Now, let me tell you something. You don't even need that form, because the regulations state this form or a note from your doctor. Now, I have personally been involved in DRAC meetings where that form, the postal form, wasn't filled out, and the meeting was canceled because they wouldn't accept a letter from your doctor. So, again, the rules are set up to enhance or encourage employees to report accidents and get the proper compensation, but the rules are just not being followed at the level that we currently reside. So I say to you again, if we slow down and just read and become familiar with the rules and regulations that govern the job that we do on a day-to-day basis, I guarantee you we're going to stop and say, you know what? We have a pretty nice job. Okay, let's get back to – that was my moment. that was my moment. Let's get back to our injury compensation. But, again, once you fill out that CA2 form, okay, the CA2 form notifies management, Department of Labor, that you feel your current work is exacerbating the condition, so therefore you can request light duty. You have that right. Anything you want to add to that, Ron?
No, I think you covered it pretty well.
Yeah. And again,
oh wait, actually there is. You probably should cover the time limit on that.
Talk to me. Go ahead.
You can request light duty for less than 6 months.
Excellent point. Excellent.
I'm trying to find where I saw the rest of it. Here it is.
Are we talking on the memo?
Yeah, we're on the memo here.
Okay.
Down near the bottom says, refer employees to the District Reasonable Accommodations Committee, or DRAC Committee, if light duty is needed for greater than 6 months. All right. If it's for more than 6 months, the DRAC Committee has to approve it. That's my understanding. If it's less than 6 months, they don't even need to see it.
And I got to say, reading that and seeing that earlier, I have, again, personally been involved representing people with the DRAC committee, and none of the people that I've represented were requesting light duty in excess of 6 months. So if I read this properly, you know, again, I have to wag my finger at the agency, because we waited in excess of 30 days for both of those individuals waiting on an appointment to meet with DRAC. And if I'm reading this correctly, DRAC was never needed to be involved, because neither of the employees requested light duty in excess of 6 months. So what the agency did, again, as I said, not understanding their own rules and regulations, they drug a situation out. They extended a situation and forced employees to stay out of work longer than they ever should have. So, again, if we understand the rules and regulations, because it's apparent that the agency which we work, Postal Service, in particular the branch I work, Columbus, is not concerned with the right thing. They think they understand the process, and they forego the opportunity to read it, so they'll know the process, and they make decisions that ultimately cost employees wages, and it also do not allow full recuperation so they can come back to being 100%. So we have to stay in tune. We have to stay involved, because one of the good things about the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast is we stay in tune. And we do research that you don't have to do. But when we research an item that is applicable to your situation, then you should do further research. Again, this way, because nobody's going to care for you like you should care for yourself. So if you're injured and you need light duty, hey, let's go and get it, unless requested. Because, again, you have to take care of your body, because it's apparent sometimes the agency forgets that. And what I want to do at this point, if we can, hey, Rob, can you go over a CA2 with us pretty briefly?
Yeah, sure. I know, I sound real enthusiastic, don't I?
I'm feeling the energy.
All right, a CA2, its official title is Notice of Occupational Disease and Claim for Compensation. Now, the title is misleading, all right, because occupational disease, this form was actually designed and implemented for employment like coal miners, where you get black lung and stuff like that. But being the government, they don't want to change the name to be more specific, right? But this is what is used for when you have a pre-existing condition and it's being aggravated at work, whether it be carpal tunnel, whether you have a bad back and all the lifting and bending you're doing is aggravating it, right? There's no point in you being in pain or any more than absolutely necessary. So come see me, see Kenny, get a copy of this form and file it. Fill it out and file it. Okay? It's a little confusing, but again, if you have questions, you can call me or Kenny. And that's what it's for. It's there to help you. The government doesn't want its employees to be off work. They're greedy that way. Well, then again, most employers are. The government more so. And the government has deeper pockets than your average employer. Trust me. Be thankful you're a federal employee and not a state employee. I think our forms are confusing. You got to see theirs. And our forms get approved far more often than the state employees do. I'm not really sure what you want me to go do with this, Ken, because all I could do is reread all the different lines that you'd have to fill in.
So a CA2, again, we're basically telling folks that be mindful that if you had a pre-existing condition, you got hurt years ago, and it's bothering you now, listen, folks, it is not fraud. You're not deceiving anyone. In fact, most of the people that I talk to when we talk about a CA2 is I tell them, you write the statement as it really is. Because once you submit your statement, can again, and I like to give these conditions. I'm an airborne paratrooper. I'm not. I'm giving an example. I blew my knee out jumping out of airplanes 20 years ago. Now with all the bending and walking I have to do in the plant, that injury is being exacerbated. Yes, I can file a CA2, and that is what I'm going to write. Now, because that's the truth. Now, the Department of Labor sees that. They're going to say one or two things. I agree that your current work is exacerbating your previous injury, and your claim is accepted. Or I don't agree. Further documentation is requested. So you send in further documentation. And the final decision is, I don't agree that your current work is exacerbating an injury. Well, guess what, folks? Your claim is denied, but you have not lost anything, because you were already there working. So what I'm saying is, it's kind of a win-win. There is no loser. I'm sorry, excuse me. And when I say there is no loser, you probably were not even aware of a CA2 form, and you've been working with that injury. Now that you're aware, you have an opportunity to correct that. But if it's not able to be corrected, then you're right back where you started from, so you didn't lose anything. That's what I mean by it's a win-win situation for you.
Actually, it's a triple win. Because if they approve it, then you're going to get treatment for it.
Okay.
See?
I feel obligated to come back. Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead.
I feel obligated to come back with it's a quad win. But go ahead. I'm going to leave it at triple one. I'm not going to one-up you, man.
All right. I wasn't trying to one-up you. But I will give you an actual example rather than a hypothetical one. I know an individual who was injured on a night patrol while he was in the service. All right. And it was a moderately severe injury. No surgery was required. The post office hired the individual knowing he had the injury as a mail handler, put him to work on the apps, and then he got hurt. While he was sitting at the rewrap table, all right, the injury that he had received in 1977 flared up because he had to twist and lift things with one hand because his injury was his shoulder. He filed for a CA-2. It was denied based on a couple of different factors. However, I had him submit some MRIs and doctor's information that he had, and within 2 weeks, it came back approved, and he has a case number, and he's being treated for it. Physical therapy, medication, the whole works. Right? All because he lifted something and it twisted from him, hurt his back again. 40 years. He got a claim for it. It took 40 years because the VA wouldn't acknowledge it.
And again, it goes to reiterate, if I may, when I said if we understood the laws that protect us at work, and that even goes over into our contract and to other federal policies, I'm telling you, folks, if we would hold people accountable for what the law says they have to do, you would really enjoy your quality of work life. And I know I keep saying that, but it's so true in so many instances. We suffer a lot of nonsense, and we become agitated and irritated with the agency on a regular basis. And a lot of it is they just don't know, and they don't have the proper motivation to go find out for you. And again, you have podcasts like the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation. You've got Facebook shows on Wednesday night, Federal Injury Centers with Jeannie and Rob. I'm sorry, I said Jeannie and Rob. Jeannie and Chris. You know what? Every time I talk about Chris, I either put an S on his last name or I put Jeannie and Chris. I mean, again, to me, that's like the walking human injury compensation, you know, but again, we're connected with all these different organizations just so we can bring injury compensation information to you, the person that needs it. So we do the homework. We do the broadcasting. We do the Facebook shows, all designed so that you understand that if you are a federal employee and you are injured at work, then the law is on your side. Again, if you want to be slick and try to be clever and beat the system, well, I mean, that you can kind of skip this podcast. But if you have an injury, and again, sometimes an injury can seem minute to the agency, but it's aggravating as heck to you, well, then don't allow peer pressure to stop you from filing that claim. And let me tell you something. This podcast is not a solicitation for you to just file frivolous claims. This podcast is designed to inform you that if you've been injured at work and don't know what to do, this is what you should do. So let's just make that perfectly clear, because as we come into information, like, for example, the new SOP or the restated SOP on light duty, as we come into that information, we're going to share that information with you, because I guarantee somebody who hears this podcast is going to be thankful that they heard that. And now all you have to do is apply that information. But again, just stay mindful of that light duty, limited duty, because if your intent isn't sincere, then you could be requesting to work less than 40 hours a week. So just keep that in mind when you start requesting light duty. Now, you and I both know, when I say you and I, you, Rob, and the whole podcast audience both knows, in the facility which I currently work, they probably couldn't get enough people to fill all the light duty work assignments they could offer. But, you know, management being management, and sometimes that old, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson, they may not want to find work for you. And if it is a non-job related injury, they're kind of within their rights. And notice I say kind of.
Ethically speaking, they're within their rights.
Yeah.
Or I should say, legally speaking, they're within their rights.
Legally,
ethically,
yeah.
They're not.
Thank you. Okay. And again, when we start practicing bad ethics, that can only snowball into much worse situations. But again, as the information becomes available to Rob and myself, we're going to make that information available to you. Now, tonight's podcast, and I always say, I only focus on postal employees. Rob focuses on all federal employees. It doesn't matter. So tonight's podcast and the light duty standard operating procedure we presented tonight, that's a postal policy. So for the federal employees who follow the podcast, tonight was more postal than anything else. So I don't want you, the other federal employees, to go to work asking about a new memo May 11th, because you're probably not going to find it. In fact, if most postal employees go to work and ask to see a copy of this memo posted, I'm going to have to say again, you're probably not going to find it. because they're not too up on making sure you stay up on the latest. Because the agency
actually
looks at... Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but actually, since it's directed to all employees, Ohio Valley District, I can post this on the bulletin boards in the locker rooms.
Hey, all right, good deal. We'll have a posting put up in the bulletin board in both locker rooms. And again, if you need a copy of those forms that are needed to request light duty, you can ask your supervisor, or again, you can contact Rob and myself. We can get the forms for you. You still have to submit them to your supervisor. So let's not get crazy. And I hope I never, ever, ever have to sit in a meeting and some employees say they requested light duty through Kenny or Rob. Because trust me, Kenny and Rob are mail handlers. Our authority is just as great as yours is. Okay, we don't authorize anything. We just give you the information and try to direct you in the right direction. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I have no authority to grant you
none.
Like duty.
Anything. In fact, the agency probably thinks we're stretching our authority just by telling you about light duty. So again, if you need the forms and your supervisor, because I know you don't always have a supervisor, if you need the forms and your supervisors can't provide them for you, you can contact Rob and myself. We can provide you the forms. We can provide you the packet. But remember, and I say this again, you have to submit this to postal management, not to Kenny and Rob. So, hey, that's our show for tonight. Any parting words, Rob?
Be safe. Be well. Get what's yours.
Again, if you got it coming to you, again, I don't want you to get hurt to get it. But if you get hurt, then you should get all the compensation that the law says you are entitled to. Hey, thank you for tuning in tonight, the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. And again, if you have tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, the Federal Injury Centers do their Facebook show. They're going to be talking about CA1s and CA2s. If you have an opportunity, check that Facebook show out. Excellent show. Hey, good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night. Good night, Rob.
Good night, everyone.